Father's intention or the Father's vision is that he will manifest himself through everyone, every part of the body of Christ. Experience will be measured. Your victory will be measured according to the purity of your doctrine. Your progress will be measured according to the soundness of your doctrine. Things have the power to shape a believer's future. They continue steadfastly first in the apostles' doctrine, because it is from this doctrine that the power will flow with the intention that God had in mind.
Breakout, glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. The Lord of the bricks has broken you out of every tight place. Amen. He has broken you into your mega harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Primitive apostolic practices. Amen. August edition. Glory to God. Are you ready for this? Amen. All right. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. It's been a journey of 2 months. Okay. We started first week of June. Okay. So we are 2 months on this series already. We've had 7 weeks teaching this. This is the 8th week. And truly, it's been a great time. It's been an inspiring time. It's been a mighty time of adventure in God's word and adventure in the spirit. Hallelujah. And I trust God that in the month of August, we'll bring that to a close. But most importantly, we'll experience great impartations and encounters of the God kind. Amen. Life-transforming encounters. Glory to God. The 21st century has not changed God's vision for his church. It has not changed God's template for building his people. It has not changed God's standards. It has not changed his expectations. Hallelujah. And it's on this premise that we began to teach on what we titled Primitive Apostolic Practices. We say that God has a vision for the church. He has an expectation or the New Testament church, and he has a design that we must fit in. And every time you see what God is seeing, you adjust. Amen. So we don't try to adjust God to fit our experience. We adjust our experience to fit God's expectations. Is that true? Hallelujah. We also say that by design, in the New Testament, every believer is supposed to be trained to carry and communicate the fullness of God's presence and glory and power. You remember that? And we added that we are not the Moses generation. We are the Jesus generation. Amen. We are the Joshua's generation. And by the way, I'm not talking about the Joshua in the book of Joshua. Amen. I'm talking about Jesus, because Jesus is Yeshua. Amen. Hope you know. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So we are the Jesus generation. That means we carry and communicate the fullness of God's power, the fullness of his spirit, the fullness of his wisdom, every part of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. So there's no such thing as ministries for the pulpit and the pew are just warming bench every Sunday, giving your tithe and pleasing the pastor, making pastor happy every Sunday. There's nothing like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The prophet Moses alluded to this fact explicitly. He says, I would to God that all of God's people were prophets and that he will put his spirit upon them. Meaning, God's vision is that every one of his people will carry and communicate his presence, will hear and speak for him. Are we together? That is all prophets do. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. And the early church had this understanding. But you see, there were things they did. There were things they understood. There were things they did that helped them give this full expression to God's expectation. Are we together? They gave full expression. There were things they did that helped them. Hallelujah. I mean, you go and check church history. It will say that in the first 100 and 200 years, they almost covered their then world. And I say that is remarkable. You have the book of Acts to read. Before we talk about history of the early church, study the book of Acts. You will see the kind of church that they built, the kind of church that they ran, the kind of believers there is. I brought attention to something because of the teaching, that you will notice the Bible talking about number of disciples multiplying, not just number of converts, are we together? Not just number of churchgoers, number of disciples multiplying. It says the word of the Lord increased and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. That is clear, explicit. Number of disciples multiplied. How were they able to multiply disciples? And I told you that disciples are different from churchgoers. Disciples are different from just converts. Disciples are those who have been raised to represent their masters. Those are disciples. Glory to God. Those are disciples. That means they could stand in for the Lord. How did the name Christian come about? They observed them and saw that they were like Jesus. If I had a particular point, the Bible says they took note of them that they were learned men. But they saw the boldness with which they spoke. They said, Kai, these guys have been with Jesus. That means there was a deposit of the Christ life. You hear Paul praying for his convert. He says, my little children, for whom I travel in birth again. That means Paul wasn't satisfied with leading converts. He wasn't satisfied with just leading churchgoers. He said, my little children, for whom I travel in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You can see the mindset of the early church. They produced disciples, people that were dependable. I give us an instance in Acts chapter 7. The man Stephen, who was appointed to serve tables, he was like a deacon in church. He wasn't a pastor, he wasn't an apostle, he wasn't an evangelist. He was a deacon in church, he was in help's ministry. But he was so taught and loaded in the understanding of this covenant that without a sermon note, when he was asked, are these things true? He responded, men, brethren, and father, hearken. And then he ran a commentary of the Abrahamic covenant and his essence. Just in a stand. It took hours. The whole chapter. You go and read it for yourself. I mean, such articulation, such intelligence of presentation. But beyond that, when he spoke, the power of God filled the place. The Bible said their eyes were fastened upon him. When they looked at him, he says, shone like that of an angel. He was a deacon. That was the kind of church they raised. And we cannot do less. Have it together. We cannot do less. In Acts 8, the Bible says, after the persecution, they went everywhere and every man preaching. They went everywhere. That means everybody in church could preach. So that's what that verse 4 is saying. Everybody in church could preach. When they took a flight, they could preach. When they entered a bus, they could preach. When the Holy Ghost prompts their heart to talk to a neighbor, they didn't say, I don't know what to say. No, they could talk to them. Why? They were raised that way. But there were practices that presented such a church. There were practices. They were practicing. You see, there's a difference between training people and teaching people. Let me say the second one first. There's a difference between teaching people the word of God and training them to be disciples. Discipleship goes a little above teaching. It covers training. And I have attempted to define training for us here. You see, teaching is to communicate information, okay, with the purpose to inform or transform. That's nice. But training goes a little further. In training, you are transforming a new skill set, you are transforming a new way of behavior through teaching, instructions, and practices. So teaching is a tool for training, but it's not the only thing. There will be instructions, there will be practices. Are we together? Any trained medical doctor will tell you that. Any trained lawyer will tell you that. Any trained accountant will tell you that. Any trained teacher will tell you that. In between the teachings, you go for teaching practice, true or false. You were sent to secondary school or a primary school to go teach. Any nurse will tell you that. You don't just do everything in the school of nursing, taking lectures. Is that true? You go to the hospital for practice. Why? Training is not complete without practices. And without instruction. And I have said this for many years, that every believer must see church as a training ground. You must see church as a family. You must see church as a training ground. You can't see church as a shrine. And church cannot be run or organized that way. Well, just come and say, prophesy for me, pastor. What are you seeing? You sow your battle seed and you go away. You don't do anything. They just pray and prophesy for you. I give you prayer point to pray and you go home. You can't represent God that way. A church will be weak if we run it that way. Are we together? But we're talking about raising a generation that can confront territories, that can go counterculture, that can put Satan where he belongs, that can chase Satan back to hell, that can make him regret the day of his rebellion. In every sector, glory to God. In starting from your family, glory to God. Can you take a stand as a priest in that home and say, devil, thus far you have come, further you cannot go, out. Are we here? This is God's vision. This is God's expectation. Believers that can represent him in power, in character, in glory, in wisdom. Hallelujah. This is the backdrop to this teaching. Amen. All right, so today we'll be talking about doing life together. Doing life together. So if you add it up, this should be number 4, I believe. The first practice was commitment to sound doctrine. Second, the practice of protracted interface with the teaching of God's word. And oh boy, we taught it. And we showed you by precept and example. Amen. Hallelujah. If you have never been to total immersion, look for the next one and come. That one is not 45, it's not 60 minutes of teaching. Amen. Sometimes we just teach for 4 hours. And the next one we're going to do it, we'll not break it. Amen. See, there's something about mingling with the word. It does something to you. It does something to you. It does something to you. I can't go away from talking about this. In Acts 19, you remember the story now. How the novices met Paul and he got them born again, got them baptized, got them filled with the Holy Ghost and began to teach them. The Bible says he took them from the synagogue when there was a contention and took them to one school of Tyrannus and daily he began to teach them for 2 years. Have you sat down listening to messages for 2 years, listening to teachings for 2 years every day? No, you do that and see how your life will come up and see what will happen to your life. You will be sound by force. You see, you don't need to be intelligent. It's just applying the law of routine and regimen. You'll be sound. You'll be sound. You'll be sound. But those are the things they had in the early church. 2 years. 2 years. 2 years. And Paul used to teach for long. I proved it to you in Acts 20. One day he taught from morning till night. Eutychus fell down. He woke him up. He continued teaching till the next day. And let me just add this. You may not have church doing that for you, but you can condition yourself to do that. What is your phone for? What is your tab for? What is your iPad for? What is your laptop for? Spiritual resources. You condition your environment to interface with the world that way. You don't need, we have taught the things and recorded them. I mean, we have a Telegram channel now. If you have not subscribed, go and subscribe today. The messages are there, dumped. You just download and be playing. Are you here? Because listen, how did the number of disciples multiplied? The word of the Lord increased. Acts 6:7. The word increased. That means you cannot multiply disciples without an abundance of the word. It's not possible. The word of the Lord increased. It grew. It says in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And prevailed. And prevailed. Kelobakaya. That Acts 19:20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. How did it prevail? Paul locked down for 2 years. Watch this. Just teaching believers. He wasn't going everywhere in Ephesus. He sat down in one place and focused on people, teaching them for 2 years. But the impact was territorial. Did you notice that? It was territorial. So we can sit in one place teaching people. Teaching and teaching and teaching. And the word will be increasing. They go out bringing more people. They are being taught the word. And through those people, the word of the Lord will increase in the city. And then the number of disciples will multiply greatly. And Paul wasn't going everywhere. He sat in the school of Tyrannus. But the impact of that focus and concentration, the impact of that repeated concentrated approach, interface with the word, covered the whole of Ephesus. So that men who did curious works, the Bible says they brought their books, their magical materials, and burnt them. Why? The word had prevailed. The word had prevailed. the word had prevailed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We are committed to the word of God. We're committed to putting the word of God out. We are. And this is just the beginning. We will fill, the Bible says about the disciples, they fill Jerusalem with their doctrine. We are going to fill this nation with our doctrine. We are going to fill the nations of the earth with our doctrine. Who is with me? The doctrines of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to fill everywhere. Oh, we are. Leap, watch and see. You know, I'm sure when Paul, you know, he started with, were there 12 people or 10 now? Acts 19, who remembers? There were a few persons, maybe 10 to 12. I can't even remember the number right now. He started with them. He was just teaching them. I'm sure if a man passed by and saw a pastor teaching just 12 people and just teaching them the word, money was like, what are these guys doing? They are so few. They are so weak. But give us time. From that small group of 10 to 12, with that consistency of unleashing the ministry of the word and the spirit, the whole of Ephesus was taken over. He says, in the city of Ephesus, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Give us time. We are cooking something. No, you imagine it. But this is God's strategy for subduing territory. That's what they're saying. It's God's strategy. We will teach and teach again. And teach and teach again. On Sunday we are teaching. Tuesday we are teaching. Amen. On the internet we are teaching. Glory to God. In your laptop we are teaching. On your phone we are teaching. You keep it going. You keep it going. Suddenly the word of God will grow mightily and prevail. First in your heart. First in your life and in your circumstances. And then in the city. In the city. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so number three, prayers. We talked about prayers, right? I'm doing a quick recap. I'm trying. Number three, we says the practice of protracted and consistent prayer. And that we took that for 3 weeks. We talked about developing a prayer life. Beautiful. The approach to prayers, and then we entered into developing a prayer life. If you were not around last Sunday, even if you were around, go and get the teaching. We talked about the three pillars of an effective prayer life. Oh, you need to get it. Number one was what? Communion. Number two, commitment. Number three, community. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's continue today now. Doing life together, the practice of fellowship. Acts 2:42. Hey, yeah. The practice of fellowship. Hi, the practice of fellowship. Oh, thank you, Lord. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In fellowship, so that's where we are. In fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Let's read down, give me 43 and 44. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. Are you with me? You see, one of the most outstanding characteristics of the early church was genuine fellowship. You can write that down. That's one of the most outstanding characteristics of the early church was genuine fellowship. Listen to me. Man was not designed to do life alone. What I'm about to teach you is changing your life forever. Listen to me. And I need you to pay attention with your heart. Man was not designed to do life alone. Back to Genesis. In Genesis chapter 2, when Adam was created, the Bible says everything that God did, he saw them and he said that they were good. And then he made man in his own image, right? So the male man was the first to be formed. And then he was living life there. And then the Bible says God looked at him. He says, it is not good for man to be alone. I know we have used that as a marriage scripture. We have used that as a scripture for relationship and marriage and wedding. But it's beyond that. Because if you don't understand it beyond that, you will think God was saying that Abraham was lonely. He wasn't talking about loneliness. Adam was not lonely. So he wasn't suggesting that Adam was lonely. No, he was busy. But God saw that, look, it is not good for man to be alone. Let me make a help suitable for him. And then Eve was formed. Hallelujah. That's where it all began. God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. That shows you clearly that man was designed for companionship. That man was designed to do life together. That man was designed. You can write this down. Christianity wasn't designed for just an individual walk with God. By design, it is a collective adventure. It wasn't designed for an individual, just for an individual walk with God. It was passion for a collective adventure. Have it together. So we saw that men in the early church paid attention to fellowship. There was a brotherhood that they understood. There was a communion that they understood. He says that they were together and had everything in common. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread. They knew that, look, this is beyond individual work. This is beyond, I want my space. This is beyond, is between me and God. They knew, and in scripture, that this thing was designed for the collective. There's a community approach that God has in mind when he formed the church. Let me go ahead on myself a little bit. Are you aware that there is no place in the Bible where the term church referred to an individual? Nowhere. Nowhere. Now, we can make you feel good by saying you are the church, but you should not push it beyond boundary. There's something we try to communicate when we say that. We are saying you are a part of what God is doing. Never take that out of context. There's nothing like I am the church by myself. You are not the church by yourself. You can go and check the Bible. There's nothing like that. I'm going to get into all that. You are not the church by yourself. The point I'm trying to make is this thing was designed as a collective adventure. And the earlier you understand that, the better for you. It is not about every man for himself. Even the Godhead is in fellowship. We're talking about doing life together. From Genesis, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. So God is an us God. Oh, come on now. God is an us God. You must be an us believer. Hope you got that. Don't have this separatist mentality and mindset. And well, I'm not going to church anymore because I was hurt. I don't want to be really a part of a church. I can just follow online. I just watch television at home. I follow my service at home and send my offering online with my wife. And we just go, we're tired of this old church thing. You are speaking English, bro. You are. Oh, and I will explain it further for you. I will show you precept upon precept in scriptures. There's nothing like that. Absolutely nothing like that. God is an us God. We must be us believers. Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And then he went on to do that. And you can see the partnership of the Godhead all through the Bible. When he was coming to save man, he became a man in the form of his son. His word became flesh. And dwelt among us. Bible says we beheld his glory. The glory as of only the begotten son of God. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. So we talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Of course, I've taught you before, that does not suggest three gods. For the Lord your God is but one God. Are we together? It's talking about the three expressions. Glory to God. It's about expression. It's one God. The Son came out of him. Glory to God. The Spirit is him. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit, he that proceeds out of the Father. The Spirit is one with the Father. He is not a separate personality. Hope you know. This is why you can never find in the Bible where the Holy Spirit was talking to the Father. You can never find it. I have told you before that the concept of Trinity is about offices. Three offices, not three personalities. It's actually two personalities in three offices. The Son talks to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit talks to the Son. The Son talks to the Father. Glory to God. The Father talks to the Son. But the Holy Spirit does not talk to the Father. You can't find it in the Bible. Why? They are one and the same person. Are we together? But if that is revealed to us in Scripture, about let us make man, about three expression of the Trinity, of the Godhead, if there's in fact anything like Godhead, that is God showing us the concept of communion and fellowship. That is God clearly showing us that, look, this life was designed as a collective adventure. Are you still with me? Glory to God forevermore. So God is the God of families and tribes. That means when God designed the algorithm of the earth, this was what he programmed into it. That nobody can be somebody without everybody. In a context. Did you get that? In Psalm 68 verse 6, put it up for me. The Bible says he set the solitary in families. And listen, he's talking about fellowship of people whose hearts are knit together. He's not talking about biological family in this context. He's not just talking about biological family. God is a spirit, so he speaks beyond that. He speaks beyond biology, and you have to understand that. And God sets the solitary. Who are the solitary? They are isolated. He sets the solitary in families. What follows will amaze you. He brings out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in dry land. Who are the rebellious in this context? In this context, those who refuse to be set into families. That's the rebellion. He says you would dwell in the dry land. The rebellious who dwell in a parched land would dwell in the dry land. He set the solitary family. Listen, after you are born again, the first expression of love of God to you is to put you in a family. I tell you the truth, I'm lying on. That God loves you, he will set you in a family. And ideally, in fact, you're supposed to be born into a family. Hallelujah. Are we together? Glory to God forevermore. This is God's design for the earth. And I wish I had time to teach you about the power of men on the earth. Let me just say a little about that. As far as the earth is concerned, man is a tenant. Man runs it. A lease has been given to Adam. And until Adam's lease is over, man is in charge of the earth. Amen. Legally. God created the earth. He owns it. Legally too. But it's called the law of the landlord and the law of the lease. We are leasing this property. Okay? We've leased it for 5 years, 6 years now. And it doesn't remove the ownership right of the landlord. Yet, the landlord cannot come and run things here. Do you understand that? Now, once you understand this, you will understand prayer. You will understand exercising your authority on the earth. God owns the world, but he's not running things. Somebody say, if there's truly a God, why did he allow my child die? If there's truly a God, why are people suffering under the bridge? If there's truly a God, why is there so much poverty in the world? Why are there so much worse? Look at children are dying of hunger. This is happening. Is there really a God? That is ignorance talking. They don't understand this law of the landlord and the law of the lease. That until a landlord is invited, he cannot enter the property he leased out. He can't. Our landlord comes here once in a while, but he stands at the reception. Amazing, isn't it? I say, I'm looking for pastor. And they come and say, oh, Baba is looking for pastor. Baba wants to see you. I say, let him come in. But see, he can't just walk in the way I walk into this place without knocking. He can't. Have it together. So, man has so much authority on the earth. For anything to happen on the earth, man must participate. Even God is bound by this reality, that God cannot do serious stuff on the earth without the partnership of men. In the same way, you too cannot amount to much without the partnership of men. Remember, I was talking in the context of the local church and the body of believers. But I'm taking it from that natural standpoint, okay? Or general standpoint, praise God. He's bound by men. For the incarnation, man had to be involved. If I'm preparing the way for his son to come, for man's eternal redemption, which was God's move, God's dream, God's vision, man had to be involved. He had to set the precedent right by moving on the heart of men to carry out prophetic acts, to carry out obedient acts, to prophesy. He moved upon Abraham. Okay? He told him, say, carry your son, your only son whom thou lovest. Take him to the mountain and sacrifice him there. God wasn't just testing Abraham for testing him sake. That was a prophetic adumbration of God giving his only son that he loves. His only son that he loves. Don't forget that the Bible says, in Isaac shall your seed be named. So Isaac was a type of Christ. But see, God had to have the legal right to give his son to men, a man on the earth, representing man by covenant, who have to give his only son and receive him back in a figure. And that was what Abraham did. But the Bible says he gave up Isaac, and Isaac was raised in Abraham's mind. So he sacrificed Isaac and received him back from the dead in the figure. Can you see that? You see the legality of what he did. And then he took his son to Mount Moriah. Oh, was God impressed? Yes, he was. He said, now I know. Now and I know. Then he added, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. The participation of man. Men have to prophesy. Men have to set the days right. In fact, when it was about time for the Son of God to be born, you see, the spirit of the Antichrist had always looked for the seed of the woman from Genesis 3 that the prophecy came forth. When God said, the seed of the woman shall bruise your head. You may bruise his heel. And that talks about the redemptive death of Jesus. That's bruising his heel. But say for you, he will bruise your head. That's total annihilation, crushing, victory, dominion. That's what that means. But the moment Satan heard that, what we call the spirit of the Antichrist went into operation. Searching and searching. Why do you think there was so much war against the children of Israel? For the seed. It's for the seed. 3 nations will come against them. 10 nations will come. It's the spirit of the Antichrist stirring people. Every time that God announces a covenant with a man, Satan comes after them. When he declared his covenant with Abraham, he shot the womb of his wife. That was what he did. He said, let's see how that seed will come out. Ah, but not with God. Lebo kasa. You know, one of my favorite parts of scripture is that Genesis 18, right? Genesis 18, 14. When God was talking to Abraham. You know, Abraham was a prophet. He had seen these men who were coming, 3 men who were passing by to Sodom. And one of them was the Lord. And then he holstered them, gave them food to it, and they were having conversation outside of the tent. And the Lord began to talk. He said, by this time, according to the time of life, Sarah shall have a son, specific. And the Bible says, Sarah heard it and laughed. He said, ah, I am old. Shall I have pleasure in my husband? And shall my Lord also have pleasure in me? We are old. I need to understand this. At this point, Sarah was menopause times 2. So it was humanly impossible, but not with God. Never a pena kosemata. And Sarah laughed. And the Lord says, ah, why did Sarah laugh? So I say, I don't laugh. I didn't laugh. You know, that gives you a picture of God that is not really concerned about the petty things. If some of you were God, most high, you check yourself again. I am here. You laughed. And you say it is not love. Angel Gabriel, are you seeing wahala? You are lying to the Most High. What is on God's mind is different from being petty. It's far away. It's far away. Amen. Glory to God. It's far away. Somebody said the trumpet sounded. They sent somebody with money to buy food. He bought 5,000 naira food. He did not return 2,000 naira change. Trumpet sound is not going to heaven. Ah, now wow. You wonder where people got those things from. Please be returning balance to your office and to your boss. Amen. There's reward for it in heaven. Heaven is not a reward for good works. Heaven is a place of reward for good works. Did you get that? That means God is not going to reward you with heaven because of your good works. No. No, you are going to heaven because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But when we get there, your good works will be rewarded. Your sacrifice will be rewarded. Your decision to live a holy life will be rewarded. Are we together? In fact, the reward begins from this earth and then consummated in heaven. So you have to live a holy life. Are we together? You have to have good works. Are we together? But you know that that is not your visa. You already have the passport. You have the green card. Glory to God. You are a citizen of heaven. But you live right to honor God. You live right to inspire men. Are we together? Glory to God. And then God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? I can't stop meditating on that scripture. From time to time, he said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard? When you are confronted with difficulty, go and meditate on that scripture. Is anything too hard? The Bible talks about comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Keep your challenge by one side and then keep that word. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too... Your mind will open to new possibilities. I assure you. Oh, your mind will open. Hallelujah. And then she continued. And then God said, that son that you love, take him as sacrifice and partnership with men. Even when Jesus was to be born, God had to partner with men. The womb of Mary. But people forget Joseph. Joseph sacrificed his relationship. You marry a wife and God said, touch not for 1 year. Amen. You are carrying husband duties. Carrying out husband duties. All the other duties, but one of the duties. Amen. Hallelujah. His relationship was hijacked. That's partnership. Glory to God. In fact, even after Jesus was born and Herod and co were after his life, you know who God spoke to? Joseph. He said, take this boy out so that he doesn't get killed. Son of God, the law of territory. If you are God, what will you think? Herod, uppercut. Everybody die. You want to touch my son? There are laws. Amen. There are laws. You see, the foundation of God's operation on the earth is love and justice. And there has to be a balance with the two. That means you see somebody who is wicked, God will wait for the cup to be full. Because he's a love God. Do you understand? Glory to God. This is why we pray. Hallelujah. This is why we pray. Okay. And please don't pray for your mother to die because she's a witch. That's a message for someone. Let me tell you. There's a way you will bless someone. God. Let God bless you financially. There's a way you bless someone. They'll use a witchcraft for you. It's poverty that is causing this thing. I wish you believe me. I wish you believe me. I see your mother is a witch. You are praying for her to die. Treat her well. Super saturate her with money. Real money. She'll bribe everybody in the coven. Say, if you touch my soul, you are all dead. If people don't like enjoyment, it's poverty that's causing this thing. Hallelujah. How did I get here? Glory to God. The ministry of men on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. The ministry of men on the earth. So, doing life together, that's what I'm talking about. And I'm giving a general instance that men are important on the earth. Are we together? Men are important on the earth. Now, there are different layers of understanding and application of this message I want you to get. Let's get into this thing now. Okay? Number one is having a cell of believers, preferably within your local church that you share life with. That's the first thing I want to talk about. Or the first understanding I want you to have from this teaching. A group of believers, preferably in your local church. And that is important. I have to add that because true fellowship, you see, there is love and there is fellowship. You need to get this. There is love and there is fellowship. They are not the same thing. Love is a command. Fellowship is a choice. Amen. Fellowship is a necessity. Don't get me wrong. It's a command too. But you have to choose who you have fellowship with. Love is for everybody. Love everyone, everybody, but be selective about people you have fellowship with. Listen, fellowship can never be maximized if you don't share the same body of truth. You can't maximize it. You can't maximize it. You have to share the same body of truth. Glory to God. It's the same body of Christ, but there are people with whom you share the same body of truth. Fellowship is more productive that way. In fact, are you aware? Give me Romans chapter 16, verse 17, I believe. Romans 16, 17. Are you aware that Paul talks about avoiding certain people in church? He said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine. These people were not outside. They were fellow believers. Have it together. But he says, mark them. He tells us to avoid certain people. Those who cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine. That means the focus of this instruction is doctrine. Contrary to the doctrine. Contrary to the doctrine. At Glory Zone, we believe in honoring the anointed and honoring the fathers of faith. You can't have fellowship with someone who dishonors the fathers of faith. On social media, they are saying derogatory things about Bishop Oyedepo, Pastor Chris, Pastor Benny. You can't have fellowship with them. You can't. There may be Christians. You leave them to God. We believe in honoring the anointed here. And then a man, someone, the babe, your friend in your inner circle believes that, why are you doing that to your pastor? Is it not just a man? All these your past pastors, they have brainwashed you. You are carrying your seed to go and give them. You can't have fellowship. Are we together? You can't have fellowship. We believe in tithing. We believe that tithing is not an Old Testament reality. It's a spiritual law that operates on the earth. And I have taught that for you. I've taught tithing pre-law, tithing in the law, because some people's confusion comes from different places. Amen. You say, but the New Testament, there are many things the New Testament does not teach explicitly, but implicitly, if you check, it shows it. It shows it. Are you aware that the New Testament is not explicit about how to raise your children? Let me not say something more. Glory to God. But see, when you run from Genesis to Revelation, it runs like a fabric. You see, every part of the Bible is important if you understand how to decipher. And that's why we taught, I did a teaching on commitment to sound doctrine. And how I told you that sound doctrine is not subjective. Okay, there is a definiteness to what the doctrine is. There's a definiteness to how to divide the word of truth. There's a way. You can't assume it. There's a way. And once that is done rightly, there are things you don't argue with. There are truths and the application of the truth. everything that Jesus fulfilled as archetypes in the New Testament have daily application. And I've given you examples. Are you aware that according to the finished works of Christ, all of God's promises in Christ are yea and amen? But don't pray. Christ is our eternal yes. Christ is our eternal yes. He's the Father's eternal yes. But in application, it doesn't mean we don't need to pray anymore. Everything is, oh, thank you, Lord. The people are mine. Thank you, Lord. The growth has come. Thank you, Lord. And you go. You are in trouble. You can do that. So as you understand the prophetic fulfillment of the archetypes of the Old Testament, understand their daily application. Understand the application in the believer's life. Understand, look, what is in the Father's mind? Not just trying to be doctrinally correct, quote and unquote. So a believer who doesn't believe in tithing. Now, you may not tithe, not believe, and be, but someone who opposes an attempt to cause division, an attempt to talk down your faith and make you feel you are less revelated because you believe certain things, you can't fellowship with the person. You can't. You can't. He said, mark them who say things contrary to the doctrine. What is doctrine? The body of truth by which that you have been given that gives you a prevailing mindset. Are we together? That's doctrine. That's doctrine. He's telling you to avoid people that don't share the same doctrine with you. Especially those who cause division. Who use their contrary opinion to cause division. You will love them, but you can't have fellowship with them. What I'm teaching is very important too. You know, in choosing life partner, for those of you who are single, it's something you must look at. Oh, you can't go and marry just anybody. You say he's a Christian. No, you can't have fellowship with every Christian. Love every Christian, but you can't have fellowship. And marriage on the earth is one of the climax of fellowship between believers. Are you aware? You have a boyfriend or a fiancé. It must be a fiancé. Who says, is that your church? That your church? Is that what they are teaching you? That your church? Are you going to marry the person? One chance. Are you still here? We believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. We believe that the manifestations of the Spirit is an integral part of the life of the new creation. You can't have fellowship with someone who says the days of miracles are over. What is he saying? The days of speaking in tongues are over. The days of prophecies are over. The days of the manifestations of the Spirit are over. Are you kidding me? This is where we live. I live in miracles every day. You are telling me it's over what I know? You say manifestations, you must be kidding. This is where we live. This is where we live. How can we even start talking? You have seen the manifestations here. How can you explain it? Glory to God. Glory to God. We have seen cancers healed. I've seen a dead child come back to life. We have seen diabetes, things that medicine cannot explain. So, how do you want to discredit that? We saw it in the Bible, we're leaving it out. Deaf ears opening. Oh God. You try to explain that it's one psychological adjustment. You know, you are speaking English. I saw a young man sitting there in the service. I said, I see tech money written all over here. I never met him before. The same week or the same day, he got a job. Number one, he was in the industry. I didn't know. How did I know? Same day or same week also, he got a job in tech. Praise God. When they pay him hundreds of thousands. Same week. Manifestations of the Spirit. Passed by a man, smelled formalin. If you pass there, you will not smell it. It's called spiritual perception. I pass by him, I smell embalming chemical. In fact, even if you smelled, you were there and you smelled it, if you don't have the interpretation, you don't know what to do. You just even want smelly like this. You have to interpret it. I knew that's the spirit of death. I said, sir, I see the spirit of death hanging all over. And then he began to talk. He said, for days now, like something is sitting on my chest. I say, you are free. And he was free. How can you explain that? So, I can have fellowship with someone who say, no, the days of miracles are gone. Where would you have the, what would be the basis of the fellowship? Are you with me? Oh, glory to God forevermore. I'm out of time. Jesus of Nazareth. Glory to God. We have to continue in seconds. Don't miss second service. You come and say, but let me read one scripture for you. Daniel chapter 2. This is the wisdom of Daniel, especially for those of you in the marketplace. You must have a spiritual cell that you operate from. Belong to groups in church. You have service units, special ministries, small groups. Belong to a group in church. And trust God. You see, people are not perfect. Because somebody may say, I've tried that before. I was hurt. Somebody was this. People are not perfect. Amen. You must learn to look beyond the imperfections of people. To gain and receive from them. Hallelujah. Are we together? Learn to trust people. Have a spiritual self from where you operate from. You can never rise tremendously in this life without a cell where you operate from. You have to do life big. You must have covenant people around you. And I've told you, people that share the same value systems. Are we together? This is very important. Very important. Kai. We see that in Moses, David, Daniel. Most striking is Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, 14 to 19. And all of you marketplace people, you need to listen, pay attention to the wisdom of Daniel. He had spiritual companions to bear the burden of ministry in the marketplace with. And Daniel answered with a counsel. With counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. You remember what happened there? Nebuchadnezzar came and said, I have a dream. Tell me the dream and the interpretation. Kai. All right. And Daniel answered with counsel to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which has gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Can you imagine that? Verse 15. Then he answered and said unto Arioch's captain, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty? Okay, then Arioch made the thing known unto Daniel. Verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Next verse. Then Daniel went to his house and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Kobalakabaya. His companions. Now, man, this is a very important template for marketplace apostles like you people. It's very important. It's very important. Spiritual companions. Once again, people are touching. No. You must have. It's composed. I have. This was a challenge. Daniel had people he could speak to. That they would desire mercy. That's to collectively now. That they would desire mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Verse 19. Oh, look at this. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. They prayed together. He got the answer. Then Daniel blessed the God of Israel and went to tell the king. Are you seeing that? He had a companion. You should have companions. Amen. You should have companions. Don't be a lone ranger. Don't do life alone. It's dangerous. You become an easy prey for the enemy when you separate yourself. People may not be perfect, but you are evil. You are not. You know, sometimes you can be so self-focused, so narcissistic, so self-consumed, self-absorbed, that we think we are the ones who are always right. Every other person is wrong. And that is a form of pride. companions. And even when they make mistakes, be there for them. Have it together. You are blessed when you have friends that will not ask you, okay, so what did you even do that this thing happened? Those are not friends, though. I'm telling you, in the heat of pressure, you are to be there for people. You are not to count their errors against them. That's not the first thing to do. That's not the first thing to do. That's not the first thing to do. Not feeling holier than thou. No. That's wrong. If our God hates it, I will show you some scriptures in second service. God doesn't like it. Companions. He says, guys, we may be in trouble here. I'm in trouble. I told the king I'm going to give him interpretation. Let's pray. You see the same thing in the New Testament. They return to their own company. Where is your spiritual company? You can't do life alone. You can't do life alone. And don't try to carry first. You know that primary school you are trying to carry first in class? Don't bring it into life. No. Have a win-win perspective to life. Have a win-win perspective to life. Let me show you a quick scripture, then we close. The same Daniel chapter 2, 48 and 49. Quickly. 48 and 49. Are you seeing this? Then the king made Daniel a great man. He gave the interpretation and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and the chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Watch what Daniel did. Then Daniel requested of the king and he set his friend, those guys, that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Daniel sat in the gate of the king. What a man. When you read people out on top in the Bible, check their attitude. Check their attitude. Doing life together. Rise to your feet. I wish I could just teach for 3 hours non-stop. Doing life together. Doing life together. Doing life together. People you make fire with. Doing life together. Speak in tongues where you are. Father, we thank you. Oh, Reba Seva Malakeda Hasa. Luzi Saprina Sostevorma de la Sostepuraba. Have you been blessed this morning? Can you lift your hands toward heaven as we close the first service? Oh Lord, my heart is open to participate in this collective adventure in the local church. My heart is open. My heart is open. In the name of Jesus, my heart is open. In this church, Lord, lead me to the people you have prepared for me to connect with. And that's a very serious way. I told you, it begins from your local church. Having genuine relationships. Of course, there are platforms we have set already. Amen. Platforms we have set, you can take advantage of it. But beyond that, I want you to pray, Lord, lead me to strategic relationships in this church. Can you pray it? Are we together? Are you praying? Open your mouth and pray. Lead me. Rebeko sesheto la brida kopata. Embrapato si stepora bakila kon sestepala. Lembrepeton si stepon de kepredo kapa. Shepeto la brida koso stepora bataya. Shepeto la brida kepetosa. Shebele de kebeledosa. Manka peto si stepron de kepa. Shaka prenda capatosa, Shaka preba capatosa, Embra patosi stepora batala badaya. Ah, enda la peruba kissa, Shaka preba capatosa, Mantala prenda capatosa, Nika petola priba capatosa, Sheberebeton si stepronda kibaya, Embetala priba copasa. Embrapeto sistepura Malakapeto sistepronda kepetaya Liga pronda kiba sabatele pronda Saliga pronda kepeton sistepuraba. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, some people are not praying like this is serious. You see, we may not be leading the prayer, Lord, money cometh. Lord, my millions. This is how the millions does not come to you directly from heaven. 99.9% of time, it will come to these strategic alliances. It will come to this understanding of fellowship with other believers. Are you with me? Trust me on that. It will come. It will come. Shalaka prepeka pososhito. It will come. So this is an important prayer that will reduce your prayer point, your personal prayer point. Lord, lead me to people in this church. I'm specific, not outside first. That's the first. Can you trust me on this? Okay, Lord, by a part of my destiny that I can have fellowship with. Open your mouth and pray. 60 seconds. Hallelujah. Lastly, I'm going to pray, Lord, genuine kingdom connections, genuine kingdom fellowship. My heart is open, my steps are ordered. Go ahead and pray. Selika pretosi stebora patana. Inka petosi leko brenda kapetosa. Selika brenda kapetosa. Ila baranongo so stebrondo gabologaya.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.